Blog Talk Radio.
You. wanna be, I wanna be, I wanna be, I wanna be, I wanna be
in your presence.
Right there in your presence, Jesus.
In prayer.
I wanna be right there in your presence. I wanna be right there in your face, Lord. Wanna be, wanna be, wanna be. 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 Let me be in your presence. Oh Lord, let me be in your presence. Give me a chance, Jesus. Give me a chance. I wanna be, wanna be. Right there, right there in your presence.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. In your presence is where I want to be. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. We honor you. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos of The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle. On our Thursday evening, 6 o'clock, for our Bible class. Hallelujah. So you could invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here, Blog Talk Radio at 516-418-5944. And you press number 1 to speak with the host. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As you know, every Sunday at 6 p.m., we have the mystery, the Bible mystery. Hallelujah. I read a scripture to you and we look at the mystery and see if you can come up with the correct answer. If you do, the church will mail you out a free gift. And on Tuesday evening, 6 o'clock, we have prayer time. Glory be to the Lord. And on Thursdays at 6 o'clock, we have our Bible study. Today, we're going to ask the question, is Christianity real? Glory be, glory be. With so many people out there in the world, they believe so many religions, they believe so many theories that the people put out there. We as Christians, born-again Christians, drawn by the Holy Spirit of God, have to know for sure of our Christian belief and our faith. Our faith is not a blind faith. Our faith is a proven fact. There's an empty tomb in Jerusalem, right outside the walls. That empty tomb belonged to Jesus Christ, or used to belong to Jesus Christ. Joseph of Arimathea lent him that because he knew he was going to rise again the third day. But we as Christians have to know the ins and outs of our belief. And so we are studying, is Christianity real? We're going to be searching into some scriptures. I'll try to limit the amount that we talk about other religions because they have no, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't swing the pendulum in all direction. It, you can't compare the other beliefs and religions out there to Christianity. Christianity is the only one with the empty tomb. If you don't believe me, you could go look it up. The tomb of Muhammad. Glory be to the Lord. And we know that Moses was buried by God. And he appeared when Jesus was transfigured in the Mount of, in the Mount Zion area. So we know Moses is in heaven. Confucius and all these other people, you know, the people believe on anything. You know, people believe on anything. People believe even the UFOs. Now realizing that UFOs are entities, interdimensional entities that come through portals and they try to deceive you. That's a big deception that's going on in the world. So you have to know your God. Hey, listen, in the Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talked about that he'll be returning back on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And Zechariah wrote as the Spirit led him, and he wrote down what the scripture says is Zechariah chapter 12, that the Jewish people would look up at Jesus, some of the Jewish people, because right now there is a revolution going on. Hallelujah. But some of the Jewish people will be looking up at Jesus, and they're going to see the marks in his hands, the marks in his side, the marks on his forehead, the marks in his back, and they're going to say, where did you get these wounds from? And Jesus is going to respond back. And you can read it in Zechariah chapter 12. He's going to say to them, I got him in my friend's house. There's a religion out there that believes, they say they believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary. However, they don't believe that Jesus Christ was crucified. Someone else was crucified. So the Jesus they believe in does not have the marks of the cross. Those are the marks of the cross that's going to bring forth the reality to the people. Hallelujah. Glory be to the Lord. Jesus gave his body as a sacrifice. He shed his blood for our atonement. And he resurrected for our eternal life. Glory be. Hallelujah. But let us look at, let us start with prayer before we go on and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. Father God, Jesus, we thank you for this night that we come together as one. We ask that your Holy Spirit draws the people to the Father so they may be saved. Your word says so. Unless a person is drawn by the Holy Spirit, they cannot be saved. So we trust in on you, Holy Spirit, to bring us forward in the name of Jesus. We're going to lift up Jesus as Moses lifted up the serpent of the cross. We lift up Jesus. He was lifted up once on the cross of Calvary, but we're going to lift him up now with our praises and thanksgiving because he's the only true God who created the heavens and the earth and who one day reestablished the kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years. Glory be. Glory be. Open up our eyes, O Father God, so we may see. Open up our spirits and our souls so we may receive with thanksgiving. Open up my heart so we can receive your word and not sin against thee. Your word is settled in heaven forever and ever, O Lord. And we trust it in you to give us revelation of your word by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. There's so many disagreements in this world, even amongst the Christians, with different doctrinal beliefs. But if they would just understand that Jesus said to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, and he said by this measure, would know that we are his disciples because we love one another. Everything else is a gift of God. We cannot argue about the gifts. We cannot make the gifts higher than the gift giver. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we praise you tonight, oh God. Have your way. You're welcome in this place, Holy Spirit. Guide us and direct us in the way we should go. Give us understanding of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If we look on our search engine and we look up what is Christianity, it's going to take you to the dictionary. And one of the descriptions that they talk about Christianity says the religion based on the person and teachings of Jesus of Nazareth or its beliefs and practices. Glory, 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 hallelujah. There's another one that says Christianity is a religion. Christianity is an Abrahamic monotheistic religion based on the life and teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. It is the world's largest and most widespread religion and roughly 2.38 billion followers, representing one-third of the global population. Its origin is in the first century AD in Judea by the Roman Empire. Members, 2.38 billion, referred to as Christians. Here you have different denominations. They call themselves Christians. But Jesus says, by the fruit you shall know them. The language, Koine Greek, Latin, Syriac, Coptic, Slavic, Reticular. Theology, monotheistic. Territory, Christendom. Classification, Abrahamic. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be looking at three foundational scriptures, and we might get through all of them, or we might get to what? It depends how we go through. And one of the scriptures talks about that we should not exalt anyone above what is written already. So I'm not going to stand here and say that God gave me a new revelation of his word and that God spoke to him audibly and gave me information and I'm writing it down. That's writing scripture. That is not right, because the Holy Spirit tells us in Timothy, and I read that to you so you won't think that I'm going to blow this out of my own self. Timothy, glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Timothy, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, here we go. In Timothy, Second Timothy, glory to God. In Second Timothy, chapter 3. Beginning at verse 15, the word of God says this, and that from a child that has known the holy scriptures, which are able to make the wise unto salvation through faith, which is Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Glory be to the Lord. That is 2 Timothy chapter 3. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justifying the spirit, seeing of angels, preach unto the Gentiles, believe on the world, receive up into glory." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you the honor and we give you the glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to give you one more scripture for you to look it up, read it, study it, put it in your inward parts, because there are many teachers out there, there are many preachers out there who give you what they say God told them. And sometimes it could be prophet lying. God didn't tell them these things. They read the scripture, they study it, and they feel that's what God told them to. You know, but we just have to look at the scripture themselves and know for sure that's all we need is the scriptures. We don't need nothing else. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. And we're going to read that. And we're going to see what God is telling us. Do you need a miracle to be able to understand that when you take water in your hand, that that's a substance, that is something tangible, water? You don't need to be a scholar. You could pick up water in your hands, and by it itself, you could understand that you have water in your hand. You don't need nobody to come and do an earthquake and shake and rock and roll and do anything to make you think that you have a new revelation of the things of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 31. The word of God says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord." Now remember, it's not Pastor Carlos saying this. I'm just reading what's in the word. You should be reading it yourself. Behold. Now when I hear the word behold, it catches my ear. Hey, listen, when I was in Catholic school as a young boy, I remember when the nun was speaking, you had to pay attention. Otherwise, they will come around the room and grab you by the ear and twist that ear. And they want you to pay attention to what they're saying. Behold, God is saying, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, why will God need to do a new covenant with Judah and with Israel? They have a covenant. They have the 613 covenants, laws of the Old Testament. Something happened that they did, or the forefathers did, that caused God to say, I have to do something new in this place. And that, and he said that in Isaiah. He said, break up your foul ground. I'm creating a new thing. Break up your foul. And that's what a farmer does when he's going to plant seed. He breaks up that old ground, because that old ground could be stiff, cold, solid, and if you put seed there, it ain't going to grow. So you need to break it up, make that ground fertile, so you can plant the seed, and then you can get a good harvest. So something happened to where God had to tell them He was going to create a new covenant. Now, we're going to go into the new covenant, which is in the New Testament, right? And that's what we have to follow. Jewish people believe that they're still under the old covenant. But we're going to see for themselves, even in the old scripture, because this is in the Old Testament. This is written down in the book of Jeremiah. He says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they break. So what did they do? They broke the covenant that God gave them. They came out of Egypt. God was going to be their God. God was going to protect them. All they had to do was come to Mount Sinai and worship him. That's why God told Moses to bring the people to worship him there. And that's what Moses told Pharaoh. The Ten Commandments were not given us yet. But there was a covenant between God and them. God was going to secure them. God was going to protect them. All they had to do was believe. Hallelujah. Although I was a husband unto them, said the Lord, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in the inward parts, and write it in the hearts, in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. So the question is, what does it mean after those days? Well, think about it. In the first century, Jesus Christ was born sometime between 4 and 6 BC, and according to history and the books, he was crucified on 33 or 30 AD, but he brought in the new covenant in the day when Jesus was having the Passover meal with his disciples. He broke bread. He said, take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. When you do it in remembrance of me. Then when dinner was over, he took the cup, and there was wine there, grape juice. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant. So Jesus was introducing the new covenant. Why? Because the old covenant was broken. And it took about 2,000 years for them to come into the new covenant. He said, this is my blood which is shed for the remission of sins of many. So Jesus Christ was given to his disciples the bread and the wine, representing his body, his blood. Just as Melchizedek presented bread and wine to Abraham, his victory over the enemy kings. So Jesus showed them and presented to them the new covenant. If they only would believe, if they only would believe, they would have the victory. But unfortunately, they broke the old covenant. They had unbelief. How do we know that? Because when you read the history of the nation of Israel and Judah, when they came across hardship times, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They didn't trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't trust the God of Moses. They wanted to go back to Egypt because in Egypt, those gods were taking care of them. And so some of them wanted to go back to Egypt, and they broke the covenant. They were unbelievers of God. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in the inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. You and I are witnesses of that verse right there. It has been fulfilled in us. How many of us, without anyone showing you the commandments, know the difference between right and wrong? Oh, well, some people might say, well, what about those tribes that live in the forest? They never received the commandments. They never received the word of God. But I guarantee you that if you go to any of them and take their wife, they would know that you have violated what God has given us to them. You're an adulteress. If you kill, you will be killed. So they might not have the Ten Commandments written on paper or on the walls or on the rocks, but they have the commandments written in their hearts. That's what the Bible says here. I will put my laws in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive this iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Now we know that under the first covenant, you had a consequences where if you did something, you would be stoned to death. Let's say a man got together with a female, whether she was a virgin or another man's wife, and they committed adultery or fornication. Well, the law says for them both to be taken out of the city and stoned to death. Look what happened to Achan. Achan, when the tribe of Israel came across the Jordan River, they went to Jericho. And God told them Jericho was his. Everything there belonged to God. But Achan decided to steal some of their golden gods that they have there, the images, and hide it deep in his tent. But then when Israel or Judah wanted to fight against little Ai defeated them. And Joshua cried out to the Lord to find out what was going on. Why does this little town defeated us? And God told them there's sin within the camp. So God told Joshua to call out the elders of each of the tribes and to bring forth people before him. And the person who have brought this calamity upon them by sinning would be done away with. And everybody was coming to judge to Joshua. Then when Achan came, he revealed how he had taken some of the images and hid it deep inside the camp. So God told Joshua to take him and his family and all his belongings, kill them and burn them. That way, Israel and Judah will be saved in the new land. So there's a consequence, my brothers and sisters. Even in the New Testament, God will forgive you. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we have sinned, we could cry unto the Father for Jesus, right? And he, for our iniquities, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to cleanse us if we confess our sins. That's a born-again Christian. To a non-Christian, you have one option. You either confess and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and get saved, or you're going to end up in hell. Now, God ain't going to send you to hell. You're going to appear before the great white throne, and there you will be given what you chose. When you don't choose Jesus Christ, you're choosing hell. You're choosing to be apart from God. Glory be, glory be. Let us go to Romans 11:25, and let's see what it says there. As our second foundational scripture before we get into this class. 11:25 says, for I would not, brethren, that ye shall be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part has happened to Israel unto the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. For blindness, the blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now, why did blindness come to Israel? Well, if you jump back to verse 20, it says, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. Why? For the gifts of and the calling of God are without repentance. Yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. You see, we have obtained mercy. We are Gentiles. We were not in the plan of salvation. Salvation is of the Jews. When Jesus sent his disciples out, they went to the Jewish people first. But because of their unbelief, they didn't want to believe. God received mercy from God unto the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. When would that be? Only God knows. When would that be? And I want them, we have an imminent expectation of the return of Jesus Christ. He is coming for his bride. And his bride is made up of Jews and Gentiles alike. We that love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors ourselves, we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is like the engagement ring. It's like the ring when you're attending marriage. I our agreement, our covenant, our agreement was his survival. And we partook of the blood and the body of Christ. We've been married to Christ. We belong to Christ. In 1 John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, Jesus said it. And I read it to you so you know that it's there. I don't want to tell you from my brain. I want you to hear it for yourself, what Jesus said, because it is quite important. He said in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, beginning at verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also on me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So the imminent return of Jesus Christ is there. And we as Christians are believing that what is soon is going to happen. Because we have the new covenant. God made a covenant with us in Christ Jesus. We have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't trust no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go up to Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. We're going to try to finish this foundational scriptures. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." This is, I believe, is Paul writing. He wants us to focus on what we believe. Talking about Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, talking about Jesus, insomuch as he who had built the house had more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, some man, but he that built all things is God. Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were spoken after. But Christ has a son over his own house, whose house are we? We are the house we put on Jesus Christ. Our life is dead in Christ Jesus. We live only because he lives. And we love God because he loves us. And we are his house. You know, he kept telling the people in his Jerusalem, and his disciples, the kingdom of God is at hand. And Paul says the kingdom of God is within man. That's why we got to keep ourselves holy and righteous before God. We try to fight so we don't allow the enemy to grab a hold on our life and destroy us that way. Because when we give in to the enemy, it's unbelief. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness. Your fathers tempted me, proving and saw my works 40 years. God was patient with the Jewish people, Israel and Judea for 40 years. We read in the scriptures that Their sandals, their clothing was not diminished. God provided for them. He provided for food. He provided water. He provided for them. He was a cloud by day and a fire by night to protect them against the enemy. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore my wrath, they shall not enter in into my rest. And we know that if you look at the history of Israel and Judah, when they were around Mount Zion, even Moses, because he disobeyed God, he misrepresented God by hitting the rock twice. Well, God told him to hit the rock once and speak to the rock the second time. But he struck the rock twice, and that rock was Jesus. Jesus only died once, not twice. He was supposed to speak to the rock. So Moses was able to go to the top of the mountain and see the promised land, but he was not going to be able to enter in. And that generation of the people, they all die except the new generation. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they shall not know my ways. So I saw my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. So Paul is talking to the Hebrew peoples and saying the same thing for us to take heed, to watch out that we don't fall into unbelief as well. In departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ, and we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. But it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So that's what happened, my brothers and sisters. Some other people, they came out of Egypt. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They provoked God. They provoked God. They lost their blessings. And they could not enter into the promised land. They could not cross the Jordan. They kept going around that mountain for 40 years. And Moses and Joshua was telling them, but the people would not heed. They were unbelievers. And they were not able to enter into the promised land. But we have a new generation in Jerusalem right now. There's a lot of young Jewish brothers and sisters who are saying, wait a minute, they were not taught correctly. They went to the yeshiva school, and they were not taught the history of their people correctly. They're finding out now, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is a Jewish man. He came from the tribe of Judah. He was from the seed of David. He was Israel's next king, priest, and prophet. He was after the order of Melchizedek. So a lot of Jewish young men and women are receiving Christ as the Messiah because they're learning the truth now. And so it behooves us, brothers and sisters who are Christians, who are Gentiles, to study this word, to put it into our hearts, to understand that God is allowing this to happen in our time. And we are seeing the Jewish people beginning to come back to Jesus Christ. And the olive tree is bearing fruit. The olive tree is bearing fruit. Everything that Jesus said about Israel has happened. The desert is blooming and full, and Israel is providing fruits and everything to the world. The enemies of Israel cannot come but so far. Israel is going to be saved, and Israel is going to go forward, and Israel is going to go to be the leader of the world one day. Right now we have someone in Israel who some of the older generation is claiming is the Messiah. Just one thing, brothers and sisters, the Bible said that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. This guy, who they call the Messiah now, was born in Spain. He's a Sephardic Jew. He wasn't born in Bethlehem. He's from the seed of David. No matter how many miracles he does, it doesn't matter. Because the Bible says even the enemy will come deceiving, if he could deceive the very elect, that's the Jewish people and the born-again Christians, if they could deceive because of miracle signs and wonders. Remember what Paul said. The Jewish people look for signs. The Greeks or the Gentiles look for wisdom. So this Messiah, so-called Messiah, is doing a lot of signs, and a lot of the old rabbis are leading people astray. They are calling him the Messiah. He's not the Messiah. He was born in Spain. He was not born in Bethlehem. Just one thing, that's all. Just one. One of all the prophecies. The prophet said, O Bethlehem of Judea, Bethlehem, Bethlehem. The prophet, the Messiah was supposed to be from the lineage of David, born in Bethlehem, not in Spain. I challenge you, brothers and sisters who are out there, who listen to this transmission, check the credentials of this guy that they call the Messiah in Israel. I don't care if he looks like Jewish. He could have the turban on. He could have the black clothing on. He could have the tallit on. It doesn't matter. Born in Spain. He was not born in Bethlehem. And we have to be condescend. We have to look at the scriptures and say, this is what the scripture says. It's not what the rabbis say. It's not what anybody says. It's what the scripture says. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God remains forever. You can't change the word of God. You can't change it. You can't say, oh, I believe in the Torah, and then accept this guy as the Messiah, being born in in Spain and not in Bethlehem. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Think about it. Search it out. Search the scriptures. Don't be deceived. You very elect, the Jewish rabbis, the very elect, don't be deceived. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Look at their credentials. The Messiah was born in Bethlehem. The Messiah died for our sins. The Messiah was buried. And the Messiah resurrected on the third day. If you look at the history of Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem from a virgin, this guy, this Messiah from Spain, his mother was not a virgin. Check it out. But Jesus Christ's mother was a virgin. She knew not a man. And the holy baby that came through her was by God, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ grew up, and he did all the miracles that God said he would. As you read Isaiah 61, Jesus Christ did that. And then the Jewish people, because he did not go with their flow, condemned him and through the nighttime. They had a rush judgment. a rush court, whipped him to turn him over to the Romans. They whipped his back. They whipped him around, tearing his skin out of his body. They crucified him. They put a nail in each of his wrists. They put a nail in each of his feet. They stabbed him on the side because to make sure that he was already dead, and blood and water came out. They put a crown of thorns on him. They whipped him so bad that you couldn't recognize that it was a man up there. Even the prophet Isaiah, you look at Isaiah 52 at the ending. It says to look at his servant, you couldn't even tell because his visage was so marred more than anything. He was the sacrifice offering. He fulfilled the Sabbath sacrifice ordinance. Took him off the cross before 6 o'clock because cursed is he that hangs on the cross. But at 6 o'clock started the unleavened bread holiday, the high holy Sabbath day. They had a day to prepare for the regular Sabbath day on Friday. And when the woman went there, the stone of the tomb was rolled away. Jesus Christ had resurrected on the first fruits, the counting of the Omar, the body harvest. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And 50 days later, he sent forth his Holy Spirit, the wheat harvest, two bread the priest was waving. One represented the Jewish, one represented the Gentiles. And wheat, remember, has leaven in it. So we are a sinner saved by grace. In the body harvest, when Jesus resurrected, they waved one bread. There was no leaven on that bread. Unleavened bread. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, we'll be back on next Thursday, 6 o'clock p.m., where we'll continue our study in the scriptures, Is Christianity Real? We're going to go into the introduction, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Peter chapter 1, and 2 Peter chapter 1. Glory be, glory be. Hallelujah. So study your scriptures. We'll be back on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock where we will present the mysteries of the Bible. And if you answer correctly, you will get a beautiful book from the church called Generosity. Generosity. It's a beautiful book to read. And we just praise the Lord Jesus Christ. For the word today, the foundation of scriptures, is Christianity Real? Glory be, hallelujah. Stay in prayer, my brothers and sisters. Go to Sunday or Saturday, whichever day the Lord grants you to go. Praise God and honor him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.